towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Our companions are back. So feel free, if you'd like to, after class, take a little look at this book, imagining that Murshid's wife held this in her hands. Isn't that sweet? I left this up on the iPad because this is from, do any of you know about Sri Aurobindo and his great teachings? Some of you do. And the mother that was his spiritual counterpart, right? So this, I don't know if you know this, they've just started these daily mailings by email, and they have a photo, and then they have the Hindi, and then they have the English translation. I thought maybe this was important because it came up. I don't have a data plan on this, but it was up when I opened it. So I thought, I'm supposed to share this, right? Right? So it says, hello, ding dong, okay. Be grateful for all ordeals. They are the shortest way to the divine.
Well, I have much to be.
Yes, you do, and you're on the quick path, inshallah, we're all there, right? Is that a great quote?
It is a great
quote. I mean, it's a great teaching, right? Be grateful for all ordeals. They're the shortest way to the divine.
Good.
You're on the right track, right? Okay. Does anyone recall first day? What was the keynote?
Harmony.
And yesterday?
Insight.
Very good. Yeah. Harmony and insight. So we're moving on. Third day. The keynote is concentration on the ideal. Concentration on the ideal. Bowl of Saki, May 26th, by Hazrat Inayat Khan. So long as one has a longing to obtain a particular object, one cannot go further than that object. So long as one has a longing to obtain any particular object, one cannot go further than that object. You know, there's that beautiful, often quoted saying of Hazrat Inayat Khan, shadow your ideal on the rock of truth. You've heard it? Shatter your ideal on the rock of truth. So this is concentration on the ideal. It's like an egg or a snake, right? The skin, we have to shed it so we can get bigger. The ideal is the same way. It can keep us really confined. But if we can are willing to give it up, then we can go further. It's there's a, the other quote that's like, as I approach the hot horizon continues to recede. This is good. You know, we keep moving forward. Now, these are the words of Murshid Samuel Lewis. This is not wrong. Let me read the quote again. So long as one has a longing to obtain any particular object, one cannot go further than that object. Is everyone over there okay in the sun? Okay. Reading from Murshid Samuel Lewis. This is not wrong of itself. For instance, that longing leads to concentration. Or rather, when it does lead to concentration, when it is strong enough to keep one from flitting hither and thither, That longing cannot be called evil. Interesting quote, really.
Could you read that again?
Yeah. This is not wrong of itself, longing. You know, it. Now I think that I have to say something here about Murshid's teachings on indifference and independence. I think it's tied to that. And recently, I think in one of the Bulasakis, there was something about being imprisoned by our desires. So I think being mindful of that is real important, not to be a captive. So this is not wrong of itself. For instance, that longing leads to concentration. This is what I wish to manifest. This is what I wish to obtain. This is it. I also think it's very good if we think of this in relationship of not possessions or people, but in terms of the development of the character. It's beautiful then. Okay. So then, this is not wrong of itself. For instance, that longing leads to concentration, or rather, when it does lead to concentration, when it is strong enough to keep one from flitting hither and thither, that longing cannot be called evil. From this point of view, not even passion is wrong. If it keeps one concentrating on the same point of passion, it becomes wrong when it leads to unsteadiness. That's that kind of excitement. Remember, I mentioned that today, the difference between exaltation and excitement. Okay. It becomes wrong when it leads to an unsteadiness, to satisfaction of self, and a lack of consideration toward the object desired. Maybe the mother came today for us too, because I remember this great story that Karuna Mai, some of us know her, told me about the mother. And she said that, you know, the ashramites are given like little sets of utensils and things to use. They have their own plates and their cups and scissors and sort of various things. And there's this story that someone took the scissors and used them in the wrong way. And you know what? They were severe. It's like, you have used this tool in the wrong way and you've broken it, and now you don't get another. The same story you know of Gandhi, don't you? And his father? About the pencil? Gandhi had this little stub of a pencil when he was a boy, and he and he wanted another pencil, so he threw it in the bushes because he wanted a new one.
Oh, no.
And his father said, you're not going to get a new pencil. You go get that pencil. If you want a pencil, you have to go get it from the bushes, not wasting anything.
Yeah, look where that led him.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're talking about is a kind of mindfulness. And some of you I know are engaged in a mindfulness meditation. But I thought that we might want to work with this wazifa, and those in our circle that want to start this as a practice, it's going to be, I think, a good one and revealing for us. So I'm going to read from the Physicians of the Heart, and I might illuminate a point. I found a really wonderful explanation of a Sufi concept here for us, and I'll sort of go back and forth, and then if I can give any commentary, inshallah, that may be illuminating, I will. So the wazifa is Raqib. The sacred name is Raqib. R-A-Q-I-B. Raqib. Again, now reading from Physicians of the Heart. Raqib is the watchful, the all-observing. The watchful, the all-observing. Al-Raqib combines the qualities of protection and watchfulness. Protection and watchfulness. Its meaning of, quotes, watching over, integrates two concepts. To watch the stars until the dawn comes. You know, like, imagine that kind of concentration, like watching the stars until the dawn comes, and to watch over a baby while it's sleeping. How intimate and sweet is that? And one is like so expansive, and some one is so immediate. Yeah, it's beautiful. It encompasses all those things. Al-Raqib means to fully give loving attention, and at the same time to possess the inner quietude that makes real concentration possible. It's like Murshid being on that train, that story that I just read, where it didn't matter, it was cold, harsh, damp weather, and he was standing in the aisle on the train for the train ride. He had that inner quietude, and to observe him, it was as if he was on a luxury journey. The best technique for learning to concentrate is to awaken loving interest for the object of concentration and to use this love as a focus for one pointed attention. You know, the great mystics who have such a Saint Francis of Assisi, such a great identification with Jesus that he would manifest the wounds of Jesus on the cross. This is real love and concentration. What do you love? What do you concentrate on? Concentration can best be held and grow within the context of caring for what we love. Al-Raqib brings expanded awareness of the inner world, taking one beyond the physical into the metaphysical. Taking one beyond the physical into the metaphysical. Repetition of Al-Raqib is helpful in attaining focus on your concentrations. You know, it keeps coming around in the atmosphere, but I sort of have searched for the exact quote, but you know, Murshid also talks about this ability to concentrate in a way that penetrates. And he says it's through that penetrating concentration that one gains insight. It is penetrating beyond the surface of what appears. Does that make sense? Here's a funny story to illuminate it. Joe, my husband, and I were at a retreat at the Shambhala Retreat Center. Okay, and it was a very sweet retreat. It was with Alan Wallace. And what we had heard that, you know, to be mindful of the wild animals in the area, right? And so we had also heard that a bear had come into the kitchen that night and got into the fridge and ate the butter. So we thought, wow, that's very interesting. Then later in the day, we were in the bookstore, like they have a little gift shop bookstore, and we heard some of the trustees of the area, you know, that take care of everything. They said, there was a little bit of a discussion, and they said, I could hear them say, it was a new person that had come to work there, and she was a person of some girth, right? And she apparently had also gone into the refrigerator that night. So when she heard that the big bear had come in, she was very offended, upset, because she thought they were calling her the big bear, and yet it was a bear, a real bear, you see. So this is the thing where we can so misunderstand something, right? And it appears to be one thing, and it's completely another, right? It's such a great story, right?
Barely hear it.
You can barely hear it. Yeah. Can you hear me though, really?
Yeah,
okay,
can.
Good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, still reading from Physicians of the Heart. From Al-Raqib comes Muraqabah, Muraqabah. Have some of you heard of that as a practice? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read because there's a beautiful definition that I found that's probably clearer than what I could say to you. But then again, we'll be illuminating it through practice. And then this is an advanced Sufi practice of concentration on the breath. It's a little bit like the sutra of Lord Buddha, the first instructions to the monks of mindfulness practice. So the Sufis do similar thing toward the one. Muraqabah is called watchfulness, like Raqib, right? Okay, so watchfulness is the servant's perpetual conscious condition in which Allah is instructed, or the one who respects God's rights secretly and openly, keeping pure from all illusion, sincere in one's veneration, the source of all goodness and the contemplation. Whoever keeps an extreme watchfulness will attain to extreme contemplation. So think of this, you know, when we're in zikr, you keep attentive to the altar, the arf, this is the heart shrine. You know, there's a lot of fascinating things going on in the circle or with other people or coming and going. If you can stay concentrated there and imagine that you're circumambulating this heart throne all the while doing zikr, see what happens. Just try it. Try it for 15 minutes tonight. See what happens. And when you're doing this out there, looking, I know you already do it. I have to say that for my own benefit. Reminder to myself. So we're moving on from the Wazifa Salam. Have you found that of benefit, the ones that have been here and using it? Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's helped me, yeah, through a few rough patches. And how about, and again, some of us have been working with this, the Kabir Shaheed. Has that been helpful to keep working with these? So now we'll move on to Raqib. And this for our circle is good because it's emphasizing what we've been working with the last several months. And others, if they feel compelled or drawn to the Wazifa, of course the advice is always to speak to your guide and ask if it's harmonious with your own work as prescribed by them. The emphasis is on the Qib, the long E at the end. And we'll say again in three rounds. The first round is Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib. After we do that 34 times, again, we're beginning with Ya because this is this honorific, you know, oh, most divine, most precious, the one who is watchful, the one who is all-observing. And I love the expression, I heard it from Peron Bear once, that at first you're saying it out loud because it's like the beloved is on a mountaintop far away and you kind of have to, yoo-hoo, you have to get their attention, you know? And then you're like, hey! You know, so it's like, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, I'm over here. Then the beloved gets a little closer. Well, you wouldn't want to yell then because it would be quite rude. So then it's just, and at this point, you know, you're close enough. You don't have to use these necessarily honorific terms, but you just say, you whisper their name then to them. Raqib, Raqib, Raqib. And then there's union, and you feel as if, like yesterday we were talking about the Jabarut, the merging, and you're having this union, and so it's just whispering. You're in this one breath, this one vibration of Raqib, okay? Okay. So first round, yoo-hoo, I'm over here, come closer. And we'll say, Ya Raqib, then we whisper, just Raqib. Murshida Vera did, unless we're doing something in tandem, she would always instruct, breathe out, Raqib, in Raqib, out, Raqib, in Raqib. Okay, so you're taking that in every breath. Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib. Let's take a moment. Think about what you're concentrating on at this moment. Is it the sound? Is it using that sound to penetrate through something? Is it to bring the ideal closer to you? Is it to make you aware of what that ideal is? Is it something else in one's life where you maybe need tending to it or watching over it? Be mindful of that. Use the wazifa. Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib. Do you notice the difference in the sound after we changed our concentration? It's much more beautiful, isn't it? Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib, Ya Raqib. Ya Raqib, whispering, Raqib, 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 Raqib Yaraki. Any questions or comments or anything anyone would like to share at this point? Thank you. Yes.
I felt a sense, and you can tell me if this is off, the practice might also draw me to what would be good to concentrate on.
Yeah, well, thank you for that comment, and I do want to emphasize that everyone's experience is going to be different of the Wazifas, and that's evolutionary also. So while I think the text is really beautiful in giving us some idea, I think you're right about that also. For example, I was thinking, how could this be applied in a situation where someone was wanting to find other employment or find another location in which to live or move beyond any particular situation, you know? At the college, when the students are beginning a design, I always have them do an inspiration board. So what might inspire you to design around a particular theme, or, you know, so there might be things that one aspires to, you know, and having those images before one, I think, is very good. And then maybe at the end, according to God's plan, not my will, but thy will, you know, so because we may be very limited in even our ability to conceive, right? The possibilities. So, it is good as a concentration. Yeah. Some people have asked about that. People talk about all kinds of things, of course, and one thing is relationships, you know, and I like to share this with people, because before I met Joe, I had been somewhat solitary for some time, and a companionship is good, but it's not the ultimate. I can also say that sometimes the greatest suffering can come through relationships, right? So I had kind of said, well, listen, I'm kind of okay with the way things are. But if there is to be someone, can you pretty much put a, you know, rush order in? And that rush order, I'd like them to have these quality, compatibility, you know, on all the different levels that are like the elemental levels. So physically and emotionally and, you know, spiritually and intellectually and so forth. And voila. And I was open then to what, you know, it was just open. But I also concluded with, if it's not thy will, then make this sense of any kind of longing like that to just go away. That'd be okay too.
This was Yaraki, actually, so you could sell this.
You know what? I bet you I could probably put it in a little bit of a vial of water and really sell it.
Professor Emoto.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, and you know what? That isn't a bad idea, to put things on the on a little vial of water and bless yourself or drink it or something. You know, it's really good. You know, in Tibet and now in India in exile, in Nepal and other places, the monks, there's a ceremony for Shakyamuni Buddha and also Avalokiteshvara, Buddha of Compassion, and they make these mani pills. They're called mani pills. They're these little herbal pills, and it takes 31 days. The monastery is in prayer, and these little tiny herbal pills are being made. And when I was living there, often I was instructed, I wasn't feeling well, or I was upset about something, or I wasn't in the flow, whatever, they would say, put some of those pills in a bottle of water and keep sipping from it. So it was like the blessing of all those prayers are in that water, right? And sometimes, you know, and those of you that have been around some of the Rinpoches or monks, they'll, even if someone's ill, they'll take some water that's been blessed in that way and kind of squirt it on the affected area, you know, to bless it with the mantra and the breath. And so anyway, these things, somebody's been doing a long time, might as well try it, right? What?
Oh, I just had the image of squirting water. It's really cool.
It is really cool. And the Tibetan incense, do we have any, by the way? Because it's going to sell like hotcakes after this class. The Tibetan incense, if we have any, you really, you know, we put that in things to drink, and we also put it in things, if the body's ill in any way, you can put it in oil and rub it. It's the, it really is the best medicine. Other than the chest rub, that's also the best thing. You know, if you can get cheap chest rub, if you have something sore. Bernie was limping, and I noticed it, and I said, would you use some? And he did, and did you notice he wasn't limping as bad today? So that works well, too. So, but this really does work, and breathing it works. It helps to balance the mind, and it helps to balance all the centers in the body. It really does. So, Yarakib. Yarakib. Yarakib.
Before you kind of go on, I got the, you know, that kind of strong, just a,
yeah,
just being, no hurry.
No hurry, I was going to say, I was going to finish that for you. No hurry, no work. Oh, that's true. How patient would one be? But, oh my gosh, to have nothing more than to just watch the stars until the light comes. How wonderful would that, hello, it's a retreat about ready to happen.
Then I also imagine below, you know, I imagine below explaining it, you know, going back to the definition, staying up, that's caretaking for the whole tribe.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Thank you, Ollie Cotter. Again, Murshid Samuel Lewis continuing on his commentary, or with his commentary. Therefore, Sufis always help others to select some ideal. As the others must choose something they desire or love, so as to form a bond of attachment. So, a symbol, an image, a place, an individual, a prophet, so forth, right? Then they can learn concentration. Then they can learn concentration, collection of powers, gaining a purpose or motive in life. Then they can learn concentration, collection of powers, and gaining a purpose or motive in life. The highest morality without this concentration may lead nowhere. But the simplest undeveloped soul, once gaining a purpose and concentration, will advance far on the journey toward the goal, often unaware that he or she is traveling. Now you know that story about the simple monk, right?
No, you're going to have to tell it.
With them sweeping out.
Right. So, well, do you want to tell it? But you have to tell it loud enough for the recording. Ollie Cotter, what about you? I know you know that one.
I need more information.
Well, remember the very simple monk, he couldn't learn the sutras. He was very... didn't have the capacity to sort of memorize and, you know, study in that way. So they said, just continue sweeping the floor with great concentration. Just sweep the floor with mindfulness and concentration. Watchfulness. Observing. And guess what? He became illuminated. Mirsha tells the story about the alif, which is the first letter in the Arabic alphabet, and how the young schoolboy was unable, again, you know, there are many, it crosses all the traditions, was unable to learn. And so he was so ashamed because he went to learn the alphabets and they could only get the alif. And every day he'd go back and it was only this. And then he had this sense inside of himself of feeling, I don't want my parents to feel ashamed of me. I don't want to make them sad that I have the, you know, they're sending me to school and I don't have this capacity to learn, and I'm very sad about this. So I think I'll just go be, you know, a wanderer in the desert. And so he did, but, you know, everywhere he looked, he saw the tree and it was a leaf, or he saw a standing person and it was a leaf, or he saw, you know, everything he saw was a leaf, the singular one, the one. And he realized unity, the unity of the one. He became a greatly realized being. Just the simplicity. We don't need to know a lot of words, breaths, or anything. Just do things with great love and great care.
This Bula Shaw. And I think what I remember the rest of the story was he came back after 20 years and says, I think I finally got it. You know, a leaf, and, you know, maybe draws it on the board and the wall falls, you know, something miraculous. The wall falls away and just a leaf is, you know, so.
A leaf, A-L-I-F, not a leaf like on the tree. I should clarify that, right? Any other comments or questions? I'm very relaxed, I'm glad. Just don't fall asleep.
Yeah,
we'll make you stand up. Clarence.
I've had
Norleem, excuse me.
That's all right. I've recognized both of them now. I had a thought earlier, right after we were meditating, or whatever you call it, that we were doing, that wind came to my mind.
Wind?
Wind.
W-I-N-D.
W-I-N-D. And when it came to my mind, it seemed to pick up and roll through the tent here, and I'm thinking, how much in harmony with nature are we when we stop like this, spend enough time to think and reflect, and nature is still sending its signals all the time that life is around us and all that takes place. The complexity is out there. The simplicity is here. And this simplicity can understand the complex universe, but it has to do it. When you go back to your one again, we have to realize that each of us, each one person, in order to see it.
Everything's interconnected.
Exactly.
Takes all of us. Ya Rocky. Ya Rocky. Ya Rocky, Ya Rocky, Ya Rocky, Ya Rocky, Ya Rocky. Ya Rocky, Ya Rocky, Ya Rocky. Rakib, Ya 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 Rakib, 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 Rakib,
silently.
Some suggestions, if you might consider reading some of Murshid's teachings on the God ideal. We find them throughout the Gathikas, the social and religious Gathikas. I think you find teachings on that on the unity of in the message volume Unity of Religious Ideals. There he also goes through the different prophets. You know, some of the training with the Sufi order when I was with the studying with Pir Vilayat was that, you know, we were offered the opportunity, heavily suggested that we find attunements with the different prophets. And, you know, what is the manner of that prophet? What is the speech of that prophet? What is the adab of that prophet? So this is good training. And not only that, it's very good training. You can quickly call upon what you need. You don't get stuck in one place. You can go from, you can be elastic. Elasticity, which they talk about in the Hanuman. Get so big if he needs to overcome Ravana. He can go get very, very tiny to get into places he needs to be. So these are good things to think about. And remember, while you're concentrating on your ideal is looking back and concentrating on you. Okay. With the prophet Zoroaster and looking at those images and reading the prayers and reading the Zendavesta. The beautiful image.
I thought a ceremonial.
Everything is that.
All right. I'm being too literal.
Yeah. When we touch a place where we feel pure, I think purity is a strange word too. We have to be careful about that because we think that means being pious. It's not that. You know, in a sense, the river Ganges is very toxic, and yet she's very pure. Everyone goes to her and dives into her to be blessed. right? It doesn't matter. What?
Oh, I was
just thinking of, yeah, the bloated water buffalo. Buffalo just floating down the way there.
Someone came, when Ollie Cotter and I shared a household, Karuna Mai came to visit, and she was doing a very Vedic ceremony, and some people came or wanted to be there, and someone said to, and there's water, you know, the elements are offered in the Vedic ceremony, and the elemental scale is honored, and the fire being the element of union between heaven and earth, is it's celebrated in fire. And someone said to Karunaji, that water is just tap water, it's not pure. And she said, oh, never mind. All you do is this mudra, and you touch the water with this finger, and you say, Om, now it's pure. Concepts.
Before the class breaks up, these are probably yours to begin with. I just happened to bring them. They've just been sitting around. They might as well be for the benefit of all beings instead of top of the chest. Maybe you can explain a little bit more. Why a Tibetan would walk 100 miles to get one.
These are the Mani pills that I was just talking about.
Oh my goodness, that's
a Yeah, they're infused with all those mantras of the...
Millions of prayers.
Millions of prayers. Million and million upon millions of prayers. Well.
So, the opening... that you made was follow your ideals until they shatter. What was it?
Shatter your ideal on the rock of truth.
Ah.
We're going to close the circle with a prayer, but we're not going to close the circle just yet. If you're willing to stay for a moment, it might be worth it. May the blessings of God rest upon you. May God's peace abide with you. May God's presence illuminate your hearts now and forevermore.